You're listening to the Masterclass series from Essential Business Radio. Julie Stanford talks to the experts. And in this program, we hear from marketing expert Dee Blick and learn just how important it is to turn on the charm.
Hello, Dee. Welcome back.
Hello, Julie. It's great to be here again.
Now, I know that you have said that there has never been a more important time to focus on creating communications that are relevant and charming. And you've said that we're living in an era where email is dominant, but it's led to a lack of charm. So what do you mean by that, Dee?
What I mean is that I think we're so lucky that on the one hand, we have all these great tools at the end of our fingertips. We've got email, we've got things like Twitter, you know, social networking, where we can fire off messages. We've got the power to almost publish and be damned at our fingertips, which is wonderful. But because we're all in a rush, like, you know, little Mr. Rush in the series of the Mr. Men books, we've all become little Mr. Rushes. We're actually not thinking that at the end of those messages that we are sending is somebody that we either want to do business with or somebody that we are doing business with. So consequently, we're firing off these rapid messages without really a thought as to the content, the tone. Does it actually reflect all the good and great stuff that we're doing? And we're thinking, I'm in a hurry, I'll fire off an email and hopefully that will do the trick. Are we not actually engaging our brain before we send a communication or even create a communication? And that's a worrying trend, because so many businesses that I am working with, when I review their communications, you can see all the hallmarks of this lack of charm. It's let's get the message out as quickly as possible without actually thinking about, well, we need to craft this message. If we were a bakery and we had our lovely bread in the front, we wouldn't just have these lumpy bits of bread. They might all taste the same. They might taste beautiful. The cakes may be gorgeous, but the fact that we've just thrown the icing on, we haven't bothered to pipe the cupcakes, we've slapped it all on there. But no, it's good enough. It still tastes okay. People want charm. They want to be charmed. If we want to give our business to another business, we expect a degree of courting, old-fashioned courting and charm. And there's never been a better time in the current marketplace to stand out by being charming.
And he says, it's really interesting. I can understand what you're saying about the speed of messages nowadays, particularly on things like Twitter.
Yes.
Where I've seen a number of examples of people forgetting how widely they're broadcasting that message. And some messages I've seen have been singularly lacking in charm, I have to say. And I wince when I read them and think, are you forgetting how many people are reading what you've tweeted in these 140 characters?
Oh, definitely. And I think that goes back to the power at the end of our fingertips. Just because you've got the power to publish what you like means you've got to be so much more careful about what you actually publish. And you're right, you see examples on Twitter. The other day there was a lady swearing on Twitter quite profusely, and I thought she wouldn't have done that in a piece of literature, in a sales letter. She wouldn't have done it in a flyer or a brochure. But I think because a lot of us are testing out the waters online, it's wonderful. We're like kids in a sweet shop. We're running amok without any discipline or any boundaries, and we're forgetting about the basic rule of communication.
We're all high on marketing sugar, are we, Dee?
We are.
Right, so, do you know, one of the things I love about you, Dee, is that you always come armed with these wonderful real-life examples of people who... Well, I'm hoping that, I mean, I'm assuming it's going to be people who are charming.
Yes.
It's not going to be easy to tell us about people who aren't. But yes, so tell us the real life examples that you've got that you always bring to these masterclasses.
I think there's a couple of examples that I wanted to bring to you that are very, very diverse. One is a local business that sells that's going to be selling air suspension through dealerships. And I'm working with them, and I've got to be honest with you, we did not know how to market to dealers with this particular service of air suspension. I've never been involved in marketing air suspension before, and they haven't. So a charmless way would be to simply send a letter out saying, you should be placing business with us for air suspension. We'll give you a great discount. Fill out the form and Bob's your uncle. That's probably the fairly charmless way that many businesses would go down that route. But what we wanted to do was to find out what's the message of relevance that's really going to grab these dealers, because relevance is at the heart of charm as well. If the message isn't of relevance, nobody's interested in it. So what we did, we actually did a bit of a telephone campaign where we picked up the phone and actually said, do you know what? We've got this fantastic product, but we're not quite sure how to market it to you. And the last thing we want to do is to waste your time with lots of sales literature, when in fact, that's not the way that you like to do business. So how should we market air suspension to you? Now, this might sound like we're going crackers here and sounding unprofessional, but because we were very nice about it, very professional, the consequence was that not only did the dealers tell us how they liked to be communicated with, out of 9 calls that were made, 8 actually said, well, actually, we'd like to see you. Why don't you pop in and discuss it with us? So it was kind of charming in that we were honest. We did it in an eloquent way, just confessing that we weren't quite sure how to market. Another example was a local electrical company wanted to target architects. And again, we were thinking, well, how do architects like to be communicated with? We had a fair hunch about case studies. So what we did was organise a luncheon. We invited some architects to the luncheon. It was a beautiful venue of historical significance. Again, I think maybe a local cafe might not have had quite the same frizz on or impact. So we deliberately picked a venue for its gorgeous food and for its historical and architectural significance. And we asked these guys, we'd love to do work with you. Tell us again, it'd be like the dealers, tell us how you like to be communicated with. And lo and behold, they do like case studies. So we were able then to craft really relevant case studies to be able to do business with them as part of that decision-making process. I can perhaps give you an example of me.
Yes, but why not?
I write for the Financial Mail Women's Forum, which is part of the Mail on Sunday. And I used to go onto that website and gaze longingly at the contributors on there and thinking, I want to be on there too. Now, the way that most people would approach the journalist is to write to them and say, can I please write for your website, or here's my press release. But I didn't do that. I played the long game. So I started to read the articles in detail that really appealed to me. And only when I knew I'd got a great comment to make would I respond to an article. Lo and behold, an article came up about being an author and storytelling, and I thought that's the one that I should respond to. I spent about 20 minutes explaining why I enjoyed reading the article. The journalist contacted me, and to cut a long story short, I now actually write for the Financial Mail Women's Forum. So I always think that there's two ways of doing things with our sales messages. We can dive in there, be really quick, rapid, fire off that email where, hey, we've ticked the marketing box that's marked activity, but we haven't ticked the marketing box that's marked effective. And often it's about standing back and thinking, what message should I really carry to that person? Because we're still dealing with people at the end of it, aren't we? Not big faceless organisations. But what message can I carry to that person that will be relevant and charming?
So we always, in the last 5 minutes of our masterclasses, we always really focus, don't we, on the how.
Yes.
Because we're awash with what we should be doing. But this is intriguing to me, Dee, because the underlying thing you're saying here is not only about charm, it's about being human.
Yes.
It's being fallible, not having to be perfect. When we all start in business, we have this strange sense of ourselves that we have to be perfect. We can't show any cracks to our customers or to anybody out there. And actually, the thing that often as human beings we find engaging and endearing, yes, is when people do show their human side.
Oh, you're so right. I've got this little phrase about you can be perfectly imperfect and passionate. And you know what? If you're passionate about your business and you are willing to share that passion and listen to others as well about their passion, it's amazing what connection can be made. But if we look at perhaps the building blocks of charm, which I think you were saying is how do we do it? I think, first of all, something that I touched upon in a previous masterclass was to know what it is that we are offering. So that's about having our little benefits statement. What benefits have we got to offer? If you go into your little marketing toolkit, it should be bursting with benefits. And if they're all written down, that's a great start. I think then it's isolating the benefits that are relevant to the person that you want to communicate with. So the journalist that I was writing to at the Financial Mail, I impressed upon her my writing abilities, the fact that I'm a published successful author. She wasn't interested in the work that I've just done with a blue chip brand, helping them to market their security systems. So I think Don't bore people with all of the benefit messages. Look at that little benefit statement and pick out the ones that you think are going to really have relevance and meaning to the person that you're delivering your charming message to. So that's the first thing, is your building block is your benefit statement. Second aspect is think about storytelling. As kiddies, we loved the story, the once upon a time, then at the end, how we all hopefully lived happy ever after. Think about your story and write it down, because your story is what puts a sparkle in the eye, makes the heart beat that little bit faster of the person that you're speaking to. So if you're telling them that you started your business against the odds, that you have this burning desire to really help people, that you bolt onto it your experience, your qualifications, all little nuggets that really count in this charm assault that you're actually going to bring to bear. So you've got your benefit statement, you've got your story. How long? About a paragraph. How many benefits? If you've got 15 juicy benefits that you've got written down, it enables you to be a little bit concise. You've got a paragraph that tells your story. Avoid hype and overplaying superlatives. So what do I mean by that? You don't have to hype that you're the best marketer in the world, or the best writer, or the best bookkeeper, because people don't always want the best marketer in the world. And even so, if you're saying that, they'll be very dubious of you. So know what your strengths are. And I think the whole point of being charm is about a little bit of humility. It's being able to say, actually, that's not an area in which I am experienced, so you may want to speak to somebody else, but in this area I am really experienced. So it's knowing your own assets. Do a bit of a stock take of your own assets, your own experience, and again, commit it to paper. How often do we do that? So we're stuck when we're asked what we do, or we're trying to communicate with somebody. We don't have that lovely little anchor of all these benefits of our our bullet points of what we offer and so forth. So really commit these thoughts to paper. I think the other thing as well is being relevant. Always make sure that your messages are relevant to the people that you are communicating with. Don't be afraid to have a quaintness to your communications. So an email does not have to begin with the lack of somebody's name. You could say, "Dear Dee, following our meeting, here's my quote." Or you could say, "Dear Dee, great to meet you the other day. I really enjoyed our conversation. And as promised, here are some details." I often call this in marketing a little plus one model. What's the one extra thing that I can do to make a positive impact on that person? What's the one genuinely charming thing I can do? So now we're almost moving from the written word into how we conduct ourselves. What impact do we want to leave on people? So I hope that's helped. It's kind of a mixture of writing down the benefits, really looking at where we're relevant, getting our little story in there, making sure we keep it updated, then looking at how we communicate and how we can add that layer of old-fashioned etiquette to our communications.
And you said in one of the other masterclasses something that I thought was really crucial, which was listening. If you're listening to the other person as well, the things you're saying back are going to be more likely to be charming, because they're going to be, it's going to be a conversation rather than a lecture. It's going to be charming as opposed to smarmy, really.
Yes.
Isn't it? That's the point of listening as well, is to make it a two-way thing.
Do you know what, Julie? I think you've just put a great phrase there. You know, charming, not smarming. I'm going to have to remember that. That's a great one. Not that, but this would have a next blog. Don't be smarming, be charming. I think it was old Dale Carnegie who said that the greatest gift you can give to somebody is to be able to listen with intent rather than just hear what they're saying before you dive in. And you're right. These are all elements of being charming, is when I listen, really listen from the heart and from the head, I'm then going to be able to connect with you. And out of my little toolkit, I'm going to be able to bring forth maybe services and products that I genuinely believe you've got a need for, which makes me far more charming than if I just bombard you with everything I've got in my toolkit. And you're thinking, you've not listened to a word I said there, Dee.
And so that's where the art of marketing comes in, isn't it,
Dee? It does.
As always, fantastic to talk. Thank you very much, Dee, for your 15-minute marketing masterclass.
Thank you, Julie.